You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. God's love stays the same through the ages for His chosen people. Discover more about this truth in week one of our series, Remember This.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Just greet the person sitting next to you. Tell them, welcome back. To those who had their sem breaks or had their vacation or next staycation mo. Anyway, welcome everyone. If you're here for the first time, welcome to Victory. My name is Tom and I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And for today, we're going to start this brand new series called Remember This. Talking about memory and remembering something. I'm going to explain more about what the series is all about. But do you guys know people who tend to be forgetful? Kami ng mga tao makalimot og mga names sa people. Like, have you ever had that experience that you met someone down the street? You know that person, but you just can't pin down the name of the person. So you just say, ay, hi bro, kumusta? So you play it safe na lang. Ay, hi, how are you? Katong ni katawa dre, makarelate. Anyway, the point is, we all have a tendency or potential to forget things. And sometimes it's funny, like missing our keys, our shades, or for some of you, that mini heart attack you feel pag mabili ng cellphone. We all had those moments when we forget stuff. And it can be just funny and harmless. But there are things that when we forget them, they can be dangerous and they can be harmful to us. Okay, say for example, if you're taking medication and forget to take your medicine, of course, diba, it can be harmful to you. And as you've seen in many movies, if you lose your memory, your identity, like amnesia ka, diba, that can be dangerous to you. When you forget something crucial or vital, it will greatly affect the way you live your lives. That is why we have reminders, sticky notes. Anyone near imong workspace or sa imong life, dagang sticky notes nakabutang. If you're that kind of person, you know the importance of remembering things. That is why we have reminders on our gadgets. We need to be reminded of crucial information because they will greatly affect how we live our lives. That's why we're having this series. This series is called Remember This, simply because it's all about reminding us some essential truths about God's heart for His people. And we're going to be basing on the book of Malachi for the next couple of weeks, for the whole month of November, talking about remembering some essential truths about God's heart for His people. So with that, let's jump straight to our first installment for this series. For this first installment, we're going to talk about what Jesus said in the first chapter of Malachi, which was, I have loved you. This is the first installment, and I know the next holiday we have in line is Christmas. So this is not a Valentine's preaching. But the whole point of this preaching is to understand and grasp the gravity of knowing what it means to be loved by God. To hear that God loves us is not just some cliche statement that we hear every now and then. Wait, God loves you, God loves you. Parang wala lang sa ato ah. But to actually understand the thought that God loves us, for God to say that He loves us, it has weight. It has massive implications in our lives. That's why we need to be reminded why this is important. And for that, kindly turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. We're going to read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. It says there, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down. And they will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Before we unpack what we can from those verses that we just read a while ago, let's just have a quick background about the book of Malachi. As I said a while earlier, the book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is like the last prophet God used to speak to His people. And this book is very crucial. What we're about to unfold or unravel in the first chapter of Malachi is greatly important. Because after the book of Malachi, after Malachi did his ministry, after he prophesied to Israel on behalf of the Lord, after that was a period known as the 400 silent years. Or 400 years of silence. In other words, for 400 years, God did not speak through prophets. There were no prophets speaking on behalf of God for 400 years. God was silent. It doesn't mean that God was absent or God let go niyang earth. No, He was in the background. He was still doing things. He was still pretty much involved with what was happening in history and everything else that's happening in the world. It's just that He was silent. All right, so this book here, Malachi, is very important. It's the last book before na silence si God. So it's important for us to read it, to understand it. In fact, you can read this ahead before we even get to the next couple of installments. Now, for Malachi's audience naman, it's also a note of interest for us to understand just what kind of situation Malachi was in when he was about to prophesy on behalf of God, when he was about to share this word of the Lord to the people of Israel. We need to understand what was going on sa Israel that time, sa mga people, sa Israelites. And basically what happened during that time in Malachi's ministry, when he was called by God to prophesy, Malachi lived in that time about 100 years after the Israelites had returned from their exile. You see, let's have a quick history trip for a while. The Israelites were conquered several times. Years ago, prior to the time of Malachi, they were conquered several times by Babylonians, then by the Persians. So after they were conquered, they went into exile. They were taken from their homeland and brought to their conqueror's place. And then years and years later, they were allowed to go back to their homeland to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to put up the walls again. You can read that in the story of Nehemiah and Ezra. And this all happened, and when they went back, they were so full of hope. They had high hopes. On fire sila, come on, we're gonna rebuild and restore our nation. And a group of people who grew up longing for the promised Messiah who would restore Israel and all that, they had high hopes na, man, the bad things are behind us now. From here on out, we're gonna progress. Okay na, may tabuani, mo asinsuta. That was their feeling. They were on fire, they had high morale, everything was going great for them. But then years later, Malachi was about 100 years after they had returned. Years and years later, for the Israelites, when they saw what was happening around them, there's nothing happening. In other words, for Malachi, he was about to minister in a time where the Israelites, the Israel nation, the people of Israel were depressed, were apathetic. If you were to describe them, they were passionless, they were compromising, they were not in a good shape. These were people who grumbled, who complained, parang down sila. They were low morale. It's a basketball team and you need to hype them up for the game. It's like ang team nimo, ulay pulos, pildira gyapunta. Ulay morale. These people had no hope. They were purposeless. They felt like nothing was happening. And so here comes Malachi, who was called by God to speak something important. And it's really important because after this, God was going to be silent. So this is like the last pep talk that they were going to have, because for them to survive, to grow, to thrive, the next coming hundreds of years, ng silence of God, they need to hear what Malachi had to say to them. And perhaps for some of us here today, we can relate to the Israelites. Maybe for some of us here today, we're in a situation now wherein we feel hopeless, apathetic, depressed. Maybe you feel like, Tom, I've had some prayer requests. Wala na ako nakita gyapon ni tabo siya. I have some discouragement in my life. I was hoping this and that. Somehow nothing's happening. Maybe we can empathize with the Israelites and we can relate to their situation. And that's why we need to hear what Malachi had to say, what the word from God was. And take note, this is a word from God, not just a word about God. It is a word from God. This is God speaking to the people of Israel through Malachi. It is God addressing what was happening to the people of Israel. In some ways, it's like a parent talking to his kid, reprimand, kasaban niya, he's gonna tell what needs to happen, all that. The parent's gonna correct the child. It's kind of like that. God is our Heavenly Father. He's about to correct, reprimand His nation, Israel, His people, so that they may be aligned in the right way, so that for the next hundreds of years, they're still gonna be aligned to His will. So that's what this whole thing is all about. Now, in Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, God opens up His word for Israel in an interesting way. Say, for example, mga sabak ang person. What's the usual way you correct someone? Right there and then, straight, you would get reprimanded. But interestingly, God opens up with this statement in verse 2. He says, I have loved you. Before God calls His people and say, you know what, you need to do this. Or Israel, this is what you've been doing wrong. Before all of that, before the warnings, the instructions, before everything that God told these people to do, He opens up with this line. He says, I have loved you. Israel, I have loved you. Loved ikaw, Israel, says the Lord. That was His opening statement. It's a pretty interesting statement. God affirms that He has this relationship with His people, in that His intent, His heart for them is that I love you guys. And for us, being His people as well, through Christ, you're here, you're a believer of Jesus, okay? You've been saved, congrats, okay? You're also God's people. In other words, God also is telling you, I have loved you. Because we have been adopted into God's family through Christ, we can receive those words as well and say, God is telling to us, I have loved you. Now, when you hear someone say, I loved you, what's the most common way someone responds? Husbands, diba, if your wife says, I love you, what do you respond? I love you too, diba? You don't say, okay, thank you. Away, may tabuhan. You say, I love you too. Someone says, I love you. You say, I love you too. When your loved one, your family member, your parents, you say, I love you too. And you would think Israel would say that as well. Ay, Lord, thank you, Lord. Love you too, Lord. It says here, God said, but you say, how have you loved us? Medyo maangas si Israel. They said, Lord, how have you loved us? There's this sense of entitlement and grumbling and complaining. It's because they've suffered much and they feel like they haven't seen any progress. They feel like, Lord, if you truly love me, then why is nothing happening? Lord, sure ka, Lord. We, sure ka, Lord. Love ko ni mo, Lord. It's kind of like that ang giyon sa Israel. For some of us, we have that attitude, maybe deep down, maybe we can relate to them. It's as simple as, Lord, you love me. Nagbong ko last semester sa akong subjects, Lord. Lord, love ko ni mo, Lord. Lord, pag-abin ako sa akong pitakakaroon, Lord. Piso rin makita ko, Lord. Lord, you love me, Lord. Lord, nagkasakit ko karon, Lord. Nag-cancer ko, Lord, you love me. Lord, pilan ako katuwi kayong trabaho. Wala niya po ako na-promote, Lord. Akong kauban. 1 week pa lang siya, na manager na siya, Lord. Unfair, Lord. Do you love me? But Lord, for 10 years, usar akong prayer request, Lord. For 10 years, I just want to be married, Lord. Wala pag-ihapon, Lord. Ako yung makiila, Lord. 1 week pa siya sa church, nakakita na siya dahil o mapangasawa niya. Lord, it's so unfair. Lord, do you love me ba, Lord? I believe all of us, at one point or another, we've had those moments, those thoughts, those conversations with God, those wrestling with Lord. I hear it from the preaching, from the worship you were singing a while ago, from my victory group leader, from the one who discipled me, Lord. So one-to-one, I hear it from my churchmates. They say, Lord, loving daw ka. But Lord, this is what's happening to me. Lord, I'm not getting what I'm asking and praying for, Lord. And you know, it's the same attitude with the Israelites. And you know what was wrong with the Israelites when they had that attitude towards God? It's because the Israelites, just like us, the problem with us is that we tend to measure, we tend to quantify God's love for us by something that we want for tomorrow. Kung say ka na to in the future, tomorrow, we believe that if God loves us, He's gonna do this for us. If we want to measure God's love, it has to be something buhaton niya in the future for us that we want. We believe that that's all we can do to measure the love of God. But we often forget that the great things He has done for us in the past, we often neglect, para siyang spiritual amnesia. We forget that God has done this for us in the past. He has done these things. He has been faithful in these things in the past. We're always asking, Lord, give me this, give me that. Kung love ko ni mo, Lord, hatagon ko ni mo ani. For lack of better terms, the only example I can give is like a child. Parents, if your kid asks you, Ma, atagay ko ani, kung dili, dili ko love ninyo. I believe parents, you've had those experiences with your kids. I believe I did that to my parents before. We've all had those moments, mag-tantrums na. And yet, it doesn't mean our parents don't love us. When our parents don't give what we want immediately, it doesn't mean they don't love us. It doesn't mean, wala say paki na to. And the same thing with God, just because God doesn't give immediately what we want, like some cosmic genie, doesn't mean He loves us less. Doesn't mean He doesn't care about you or doesn't mean He's forgotten about you. Ay, Lord, wadyo kay pakina ko, Lord. Kadugay na gaanto sa yung problema na ko, Lord, you've forgotten about me. You know what? That's like the attitude of a child who was having tantrums. Yes, I understand we are God's sons and God's daughters, but we don't have to stay naman as like a baby. That's why this series is all about understanding just how much God loves us. That's why God opens up with the statement, I have loved you. I believe for some of us here today, we need to be reminded the magnitude of God's love for us. Now for the next couple of minutes, I'm gonna unpack for us, as best as I can, some descriptions about the love of God. May this inspire you all the more to search, to know, to be refreshed about the love of God. Kasi siya pang intro rin siya about sa love ni God. You're gonna learn more. Kaya it's important for us to read our Bibles, read the Word of God. Because how else are you going to know about the love of God? By knowing Him, knowing about God. That's why this is to inspire us to read more of God's Word. The first thing we can unpack about the love of God, as to describe how awesome God's love for us is that firstly, it is unconditional. Right? Tell your statement for a while, unconditional. It says here in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I have hated, I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. Interesting yun ang statements ni God. He opens up His word of reprimand with the statement, I love you. Israel says, Lord, how have you loved us? He responds naman with an explanation. I have loved Jacob and I hated Esau. And at first, we might ask, "What's the connection, ani? Ano kani ang giyon ni God?" And it's basically because probably Israel was asking God to enumerate all the good things that they wanted from God. But God, in His wisdom, responds to them by giving them a history lesson. A history lesson of their nation, Israel. And He goes back all the way from the beginnings of nation nila to their founders, to their forefathers. It is where we have the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, why are these two people important to answer the question about how God showed love to the nation of Israel? It's very interesting because these two people right here are brothers. In fact, they're twin brothers. Jacob and Esau. Esau being the older brother. Jacob and Esau are the sons of Isaac, whom, if some of you know, is the son as well of Abraham naman. In other words, Jacob and Esau are the grandsons of Abraham. Now, if you remember Abraham, way back in Genesis, God met Abraham, called him, he promised a covenant with Abraham. Your descendants are going to be a great nation. From your line, from your lineage, your heritage, your legacy will be a great nation, a people of multitudes. And many people will be blessed by them. They're going to be great. And to make it happen, God enabled Abraham to have a child after so many years now. We'll say child ni Sarah. They finally had a child. And that was Isaac. And then from Isaac, God's covenant continued. And then from Isaac, it was going to continue with another son naman. And God chose between Jacob and Esau. Now, here's the thing about hierarchy or heirs in their time. It's like time and culture nila. It is the oldest child who would inherit the prime inheritance or the prime blessing of the parents. Yan ang importance nila about being the eldest. It's kind of like if you look at royalty even today, di ba? Who's next in line to the throne? It's always the eldest. But in Jacob and Esau's time, God didn't choose the firstborn. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, it says here, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." The greater one is the younger. Now, who was the younger one? It was Jacob. Here's the interesting about these two guys, Jacob and Esau. Between the two of them, there was not one between them who was exceedingly well or good, or they were a good man. Both of them were like bad men. They were not by any means maayo kay sila, exceptional or skilled guy or something. They were not worthy. There was not a major gap between them. Mas worthy ning usa kaysa this person. In fact, if we're gonna look at them, on the outside appearance lang, the Bible describes Esau as this hunter, very hairy, red-haired. He was a strong man, this guy who gets stuff done. Can you imagine if they were having a meal together or they wanted to have a meal together? Mingon si Isaac, nak, gahan ko mong kaog bulalo or beef something. Sige pa, okay, bahala pa. Pagbalik din na siya, dala-dala ng cow. That's Esau, he get things done. Si Jacob is like the complete opposite of Esau. He's a mama's boy, to lack of better terms, because he was the favorite of Rebecca. Mama's boy, dyan. Homebody. And he was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He manipulated his brother that he could rob him of his birthright. He was that kind of person. And yet, who did God choose to be a forefather of His chosen people? It was Jacob. Jacob was by no means chosen for his good qualities. But God just chose Jacob. And from his line came forth the nation of Israel. In fact, that's where the nation of Israel got its name. Jacob's name was eventually changed to Israel. And from his 12 sons came the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's how they got their nation. In other words, God is giving them, Israel, a history lesson, reminding them of their origins. Hey, all the way back years ago, I chose your forefather Jacob to start my people, my nation, to continue my covenant with Abraham. You're going to be a great nation. A great nation who's going to be a blessing to many others. I'm going to make your name great and all that. I'm going to continue that through Jacob, not Esau. In other words, God is telling the Israelite people, I'm showing you guys that I love you because I chose you. God is showing His people, I love you because I have chosen you. That's why He says there, I have loved you. If you were to translate that, that's like saying, I have chosen you. Let's say if you were in an orphanage right now. Let's say this was an orphanage. There's someone who's going to pick among us to adopt us. If someone is going to try to adopt us, that person has to look into us. Assess niya, sana bring a bata, okay, bring a fits balay. That person is going to try to find the best kid possible for their home to adopt the person. And here's the thing, God chose us. God adopted us. Much as He chose Jacob, not because of our good deeds, the good things we did, our accomplishments at school, at work, or for our family, our communities, the medals we have at home, ang Facebook post ninyo na nadaking likes. It's not because of any of that. None of that compels God to love us. God chose us, God loves us, simply because He loves us. It's out of the goodness of His heart that He chose us. In other words, for us here today who get to experience and hear and receive that God loves us, for you are here today, you know that God loves you, you are privileged. Not everyone knows, understands, and hears that there is a God who loves them unconditionally, who loves them even if we haven't done anything that's worthy, pang thumbs up ni God, God already loved us. So Romans 5 verse 8 says here, but God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I believe many of us here have heard, Christ died for our sins. Christ died on the cross for us, but not for our good deeds. Not because ninyo na mama ninyo, gwapo, gwapa kayo mo. Not because you're so good, you're so talented, you're so skilled, you're less evil compared to this other person. It's not because of that. While we were still sinners, at our very worst, the very worst things you did, the very worst things you thought, spoken, acted, the hurtful things you did to other people, amidst all of that, Christ willingly went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. That's how much God loves us. That's how much Jesus loves us. He was willing to do that while we were still sinners. Just as He chose Jacob while they were still in the womb, while wala pa siya gibuhat. He didn't do anything worth. God just chose him. It's the same thing with us. God shows His love for us by telling us that He's chosen us. He's chosen us by telling us how much He's loved us, by showing us through the cross. If you're here today, you've heard that God loves you, God has chosen you to be a recipient of a special kind of love that not everyone has received. You are privileged. Every time we complain to God, Lord, wala na ako, you know what? That's very entitled mindset and attitude. That's a grumbling attitude. We forget that wait, in the first place, we don't deserve any of this. In the first place, we don't deserve any of the blessing, any of the good things that God's gonna give to us. Because again, we were sinners. Ang deserving nato, eternal separation from God, to be in hell. But He saved us. By grace we received, we were loved, rescued, saved by God. By grace we get to experience these things. Everything that, every good thing that happens to us is a bonus. Everything that happens to us is a privilege. May we not be entitled to demand and ask God, Lord, give me this, give me that, and forgetting, wait, in the first place, I get to ask from You is because I'm privileged because of what You did for me, Lord. That's how special we are to God, and that's how unconditional it is. It's kind of like, you know, parents lovingly just holding their kids. Kamatay mo na mga parents sa Facebook mag-post like pictures sa anak nila. Diba? They're so proud of their kids. Maski wala pa ikibuot ang kid. Na by parents din nag-post sa baby nila, I'm so proud of my baby. At 6 months old, he has a PhD already. You know what? When my baby got born, he was speaking English already. Wala, diba? They're just proud of their kid. I saw this show a few days ago. There's this actor who had a newborn. And he was telling the interviewer, you know what? I'm just so excited to go home and stare at my newborn. He's just proud to look at his kid. And it's kind of like that with God. If ana ang earthly father, how much more our heavenly father with God? He loves us even if we haven't done anything to earn the love from Him. That's why it's unconditional. Now, it doesn't mean we don't obey. It doesn't mean we don't do good deeds. It's a result of receiving God's love for us. We don't do good deeds. We don't try to obey and follow God to earn His love. In a way, to make God love us more. To tell God, Lord, answer my prayer. Kay isimba ko karon, Lord. Lord, answer my prayer ha, kasi gihuman ako ang 10 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. service, Lord. Lord, ha, nagbasa na ako Bible, Lord, oh. Lord, dapat na-answer itong prayer na ako, ha. We don't do good deeds to blackmail God. Lord, buhat na ako ni Lord. Loving daw ka, Lord. Ingon sila. We do good deeds. We obey God. We do all those things as a result of understanding, receiving His love for us. Rather than, Lord, I'll do this to get this. It's like, Lord, you've done this for me. I want to do this, Lord. It's a different perspective. That's why when we understand how much God loves us, it will affect how we perceive and how we live our lives. Unconditional. The second thing we can unpack about the love of God is that it's unending. Fellowship it for a while. Unending. Anyone here, you like unlimited stuff? Anyone here, you love Unli Rice? Come on up. We love stuff as Unli. Unli Rice, Unli Text, Unli Surf, Unli Wi-Fi. But even the Unli promos and networks, it has a limit. Unli for like 3 days, 5 days. It has a limit. But the love of God, it's unlimited. It's unending. We cannot quantify the love of God and say, okay, drita man ang love ni God para natura. God's love is beyond our comprehension. It's higher, wider, deeper than we'll ever quantify or imagine. Because it's unending. As we will go back to the book of Malachi, we'll come to understand that God was faithful to His people, that even up until now, He's still showing love to His people. And what do I mean by this? In Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, it says here, "But Esau I hated." In this couple of verses, God gives a comparison to how He dealt with Israel, with how He dealt with Esau and his descendants, the nation of Edom, which came after him. "Esau I have hated, and I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, 'We are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins,' the Lord of the hosts says, 'They may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever.'" God is giving the comparison. Israel, I loved you. I chose Jacob over Esau. And guess what? Asa na ka Esau og mga descendants niya karon? They are in ruin. The nation of Edom is in ruin. The jackal is like a scavenger kind of dog. Marshak dog, marshak fox, or scavenger siya. So you can imagine what happened to their city. It's in ruins. God is telling them, you know what? Your enemies or the Edomites, they're in ruin now. But you guys, you're going to continue to prosper, to grow. I'm going to continue to love you. God is telling them how faithful He is. Now, even if you've gone through so much trouble, challenges, you will not be destroyed because my love for you will remain. I have a covenant with you. Compare that to Edom, wala na, ruined na. Even if they try to rebuild, God will not let them rebuild. If you would look at history, even up till now, the Jews, the Israelites, they still exist. We just call them the Israelis now. If you look at some history, pretty interesting ang history sa Jews. Now, as a people, kita Filipinos, we can relate to them in some way that kita Filipinos, we've been conquered by foreign nations. We've been under oppression for hundreds of years. The Spaniards came, and we were under the Americas, the Japanese, and all that. But here's the thing, for the Jews, compare na to atong experience, it's nothing compared to what they experience. I mean, these guys, these Israelites, they've experienced being conquered many times. Babylonians, Persians, Romans. They've been to exile and back. They've been to World War II. They experienced being the Holocaust. The Holocaust was this event in World War II. It was a deliberate attempt by Nazi Germany to wipe out the Jews or the Israelites. It was a deliberate attempt to wipe them out, to kill all of them. Millions of them died. And yet, they still remain today. They still survive. Now, they have their own nation, own land. They've had several wars with their neighboring Arab nations. And can you imagine this? If you look at your world maps of Middle East, Israel is surrounded by Arab nations. And they've been to war with many of them several times in the past years. And yet, they still exist. Wala pa sa na-wipe out. And here's the thing. Even now, if you look at some famous celebrities, famous people, successful people in different fields, a lot of them are Jews. Or their background is that they come from Jewish people or Israelites. That's because God is prospering His people. God continues to show love to His people. That right there is the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. He comes from a Jewish descent. All these people, ngayon sila nag-prosper, ngayon sila nag-thrive, even if probably they're not that faithful to God and all that, not all of them. It's because God has a covenant with His people. It's because of their lineage. God promised Abraham, his descendants is going to be a great nation. They're going to grow, multiply, and prosper, and be a blessing to many people. And that's why this is happening. Because of God. Until today, they still exist. In other words, God's love stays the same through the ages for those He has chosen. It stays the same. It cannot be stopped, ang love ni God. We cannot do anything to make God love us less or love us more. We can't. That's unending.
Last thing we can unpack about the love of God is that it is unmatched. Meaning, it's the ultimate kind of love. It can't be topped. It can't be matched by any other form of love. It's the ultimate kind of love. That's a big deal because there's a lot of people who live their lives just looking for love and approval. Do you know that one of the things that people desperately need, not just food, shelter, clothing, is the need to be loved. So a lot of people, even if they have a lot of material stuff, they still feel empty. They still feel like there's a void in their hearts. That's because they just want to be loved. And we've all grown in a culture and somehow we need to earn love. We need to get approval. For example, if you get a high grade from your subjects, you get a reward from your parents or from your teachers or something. From how we got this in mind, when we talk about love, approval, we need to do something to earn it. But God's love is unconditional, unending, and here, unmatched kind of love. It is the kind of love that no one else can give. The only love that can fill that void in your hearts that says, I want to feel accepted, loved, appreciated, approved. If you're here today and you're desperately seeking that kind of love, you need to look no further than the love that God has to offer. That kind of love. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 5 says, your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Basically, I want us to understand that when we talk about the love of God, nothing else compares to His kind of love. And for us, if we want proof to show us the ultimate proof na love tayo ni God, we need to look no further than the cross. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, the last chapter of Malachi, gives us this prophecy. Malachi has this prophecy. And it's very important. And it's a good thing. God reinforces His prophecy about the promised Messiah. He says here, behold, I'm going to send to you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. In other words, God's going to send Jesus. And here's the thing. For them, back then, this was something they were hoping for to happen. God had to speak this to them to give them hope, to give them a sense of purpose. But for us, it already happened. We are recipients now of the ultimate act of the love of God. John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You look at the cross, we look at Jesus crucified on the cross, it's not just some sacrifice lang, some act of martyrdom lang. Christ died to save us. Christ died to show how much He loved us. While we were still sinners, He willingly let Himself be crucified. He willingly let Himself go through that because He loves you. Unconditionally. While you were still sinners, amidst all the things that you did, He loves you. That's why it's an unmatched kind of love. And because of that love, we were forgiven of our sins, received the blessings of God. We were adopted as sons and daughters of God because of this. Because our relationship with Him has been restored. In other words, Jesus coming to earth, death and resurrection is the ultimate expression of God's unfailing love to His chosen people. If you're here today, you are a believer of Jesus, you follow God, you are His chosen people. And He just wants to remind you, I love you because I chose you. And I chose you by dying on the cross for your sins. I love you because I did this for you. Well, no one else could and no one else would, I did so. I love you. I have loved you. Some of you here today, you just need to be reminded of that. Perhaps we've been trying to strain ourselves to do good things for God. It's not wrong to do good things for God. But with the thought, amen, I'm doing this because God loves me. For some of you, maybe it's the first time for you to understand and know that, wait, love the only God. I thought God just wants me to do this, do that, follow this, follow that. Yes, by all means, we obey God. But as a response to knowing, understanding His love for us,
That's why, church, knowing how much He loves you will affect the way you live your lives. Instead of doing these things, you're going to change the way you do your life because you know God is loving you so much. Can you bear to hurt someone who wants to show love to you so much? Diba? Parang lisod kayo ba? It will greatly change how we live our lives when we understand how much God loves us. God loves you and me. He loves us. He just wants to remind us, church, He loves us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.